Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Basketball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m., where we really bring on some special guests in basketball. And tonight will be no different. And, of course, once again, since this show is named Gregory Crawford on Basketball, I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, where I tweet a lot about basketball, sports, business, golf, and the great animals that we have in this world and we need to save and protect. But, you know, I invited several coaches to come on tonight. Tonight, to all NWAC coaches, but it's a busy night in the NWAC. But we're going to talk to at least one that's pretty darn talented. And I think this guy, quite frankly, and I say this around 3,000 miles away, or if I'm standing next to him, he, along with Danny Miles, without question, in my mind, the most successful college basketball coaches ever in the state of Oregon, ever. That includes Ralph Miller. You can go down to Craig, down at Oregon State, the women's coach. I think that Cliff Wagner, Danny Miles, hold that crown. And just my opinion, but I think I'm right. And let's go to Cliff Wagner right now, who is the head men's coach at Clackamas Community College. And, Cliff, I had to leave with 3 minutes to go. I hope things stayed calm.
Yeah, we wound up taking care of the ball game down the stretch, and I think we won by 18. It was 79-61 is how it wound up. So, good win for the Cougars. Coupled with Clark getting beat tonight, Chemeketa beat Clark, so that puts us within one game of the league title with three to play. So that's good news both ways around for the Cougars tonight.
And, of course, you still have to play Clark at Clark. That will be a huge game.
Yes, it will. Yeah, so we've got that one. But before we can think about that one, we've got to look forward to Portland this weekend at PCC. That's going to be a tough one. They've been playing better lately, and just get ready for that one. But what an exciting time to be coaching college basketball and working toward postseason. And actually, we clinched a postseason berth tonight. So we clinched at least a tie for the fourth spot in the Southern region with our win tonight.
And so that's 17 straight years?
17 straight years, yeah. That's a record we're really proud of.
Yeah, you know, Mount Hood was a very formidable foe tonight. It's a little scary to think when John Hawley can get some of his players in there and have a couple more years under his belt. He's a really good coach, Cliff, in my mind, and it's just going to add a little bit more luster to the southern region of NWAC basketball.
I totally agree. He's a really good coach, and he's a really good man. His priorities are right, working with kids, and he's a lifetime educator that understands, you know, it's about the kids first and the basketball second. And I really appreciate and respect John Hawley, and I'm not looking forward to him getting a great recruiting class because I think he's going to be really tough to beat.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of that, you really have some balance this year on your team. You've got a really nice group of freshmen, and then your sophomores have really stepped it up. You've got some depth, and you've got a good ball club. I think you probably are proud of them. Sure, you'd like to have a couple more wins, but on the other hand, when their backs have been against the wall, you've always played very well.
I think this team has grown. The kids have grown up, and I feel like we've played tougher and tougher as we played into the season, and the ball games have become tougher and tougher. So that's a good sign. We're growing together. We're playing together better. We're showing a better understanding of what we're trying to accomplish on both ends of the floor. So tonight we had you're right, we do have a deep team. And tonight we had a couple guys struggle. Noah Kaye came in, played the point, had a fabulous game, dished out 7 assists, scored some buckets, got some steals, got us going on offense and defense. Braden Massey came off the bench, rang up 21 points, really kept us alive in the first half, hitting 4 threes. And he's played really well off the bench too. So when you've got those kind of guys that you can bring in and and give your team a lift when team might be struggling a little bit with the starting five, it's a great thing to have, and it's great to have confidence in those guys that you can go to in that situation.
Cliff, I'd like to change the subject just briefly a little bit. We're still going to talk basketball, and we'll get back talking about your Cougars. But, you know, one thing I've discovered this year more than ever, I think I've seen more close games than ever in basketball, and I really kind of, it's a little troublesome to me that the basketball, it's never taking into account a team's schedule, injuries, their progression. We're so bottom line wins and losses that we don't recognize like terrific coaching jobs, and we have one of our friends who's done one of those this year, and people would look at his record and they'd scratch their head. But Brad Barbrick's done a tremendous job over at Concordia, his first year in the GNAC. I think already with four games played, they've won six games. And I'm just singling Brad out, but there's many other examples of where the record doesn't mean everything. But now in high school, Cliff, I'm hearing from all kinds of high school coaches, oh, Craig, if I don't win more games this year, I'm going to lose my job. And we've kind of gotten a little carried away.
Well, it's been that way for a long, long time. You know, I was a high school coach for 17 years, and I went from being regarded as one of the young basketball geniuses in the state to an idiot within 2 years with the same group of parents in high school. So, I mean, you do get assessed that way. And, you know, the fact is we had some great kids and we had a great run, and then we ran out of kids. We just didn't have very good kids, and there's not, you know, you do the best you can, but you're not going to win, you know, 20-some games without talent. So, you mentioned Brad Barbrick. Brad Barbrick is a great coach in my mind. He's professional. He's thorough. He's knowledgeable. He's great with kids. And, you know, I know he's going to get I know he's going to make adjustments. He's going to get the right kids there. His kids are going to develop, and they're going to be great in the GNAC. Kurt Bickley's another guy who's a really good basketball coach. And they've struggled in the Cascade Conference this year, but doesn't mean he's not doing a great job. I know Denari Foreman at Lewiston Clark has been, you know, they've struggled a little bit. I saw Denari coach this year. I thought it was one of the best coaching jobs I saw when he brought his kids to Portland State in terms of just coaching every play nonstop and really focused and giving kids constant feedback and being positive and encouraging and clear and directive with him. So, yeah, you know, you got to look at what coaches are actually doing, I think, and not, it's not just wins and losses that evaluate how good a job a coach is doing, for sure.
Cliff, one more question about basketball in general that I'm going to ask you some more about your team. I know you just came off a victory and you probably want to get something to eat, and we won't keep you forever here tonight, but it's fun to talk to you. And I know our listeners, and we got a huge amount of listeners tonight, so they appreciate me having you on. Is basketball too rough? In my opinion, it is. And I, especially what I don't like, Cliff, is I don't like starting out the season that every single foul is called. Then at this time of year, fouls are not called. And I'm not blaming the referees exactly ever, because they come out with these points of emphasis, but everybody gets nervous that the games are taking too long and too many free throws being shot and all this stuff. You get the gist of my question.
Well, yeah, I do. And everybody hates those games in November with, 40 fouls and 60 free throws. And it doesn't really seem like you're ever really playing the game of basketball, because there's so much interruption of play with that. And I think as the season goes on, kids adjust. They learn not to reach. They learn to move their feet. They learn not to do certain things. And I also think as the season adjusts, referees let kids play through a little bit more. You know, this time of season, like tonight, I mean, there were several plays where kids got bumped a little bit and the officials looked at it and they thought, nah, he's okay, he cleared himself, and that's fine. I don't think every little bump should be called. I really don't like that rule that, you know, when you're touched on a drive, well, sometimes you're touched and it's purely incidental. But if your question is basketball too rough, I would say no. I don't think, you know, our games this year have been overly physical and out of control. I thought our officials tonight did a very nice job. They stopped play one time. They told kids, you know, they told both benches, hey, we're hearing too much. You got to shut it up. And I think the kids shut up and played after that. So I think as long as the game's in control and as long as the participants are safe, I think these guys are big, strong bodies and they can play through some contact. You know, Vince gets contact every time he shoots it, our big 6'10 center, but that doesn't mean it's a foul every time.
All right, very good. We might disagree a little bit on that, but that's what makes basketball a great game. Cliff, let me ask you on your team this year, and I certainly never slight players, and I kind of purposely don't talk too much about players because you're always leaving somebody out, and that's unfair to everybody. But who is the most improved player on your team from November to almost the end of February, in your opinion, right now?
Probably Ryan Gibson. You know, in November, Ryan was just coming in, playing a few spot minutes here and there, and I think he's come on the last probably 4 or 5 weeks and has moved himself into a solid starting role and has given us a lot of energy. He's a kid who can, you know, make some plays with the ball, scoring it, finishing it, passing it. And he gives us a shot-blocking presence. I would say he's the most improved.
Very good, very good. I really think that's a great, you know, it's a great statement on your part. And he also, Cliff, from a fan standpoint, he's fun to watch because he's pretty active.
Oh, he's active and he's athletic and, you know, he can punch dunks on you and he can get up and swat shots. And, yeah, he's really come on strong. And, you know, as I speak here, you know, another guy that's really, really shown a lot of improvement since the beginning of the season is Braden Massey. Early on, he was, you know, really struggling and not playing very much. And, boy, he's come off the bench and he's just like having another starter. I mean, in our last two ball games at Umpqua last Saturday and tonight with Mount Hood here, he's really given us some big time scoring punch. At the same time, he's playing hard on defense. He's, you know, he's diving after loose balls. He's getting steals. He's playing hard. He's rebounding, and he's another of our most improved guys, I feel.
Cliff, I know you want to go get some dinner and go and enjoy your family and all the other good stuff that comes with a nice sweet victory over an arch rival tonight. But a final question for you, Cliff, as we head towards the playoffs and 17 straight years, phenomenal record, making the playoffs in the NWAC, which is really hard to do, especially the region you're in. But I know there were some changes in the playoffs this year. Now that you see the way they're going to break out, are you happy with them, unhappy, and kind of explain the way it's going to work, if you don't mind. We had a text from a listener just now that is a little confused how the playoffs are going to work in the NWAC this year, and it's a fair question.
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and they have changed the format quite a bit. One thing they've done is they've randomized your seeding. So in years past, they always matched up the regions. So in years past, for instance, if the South and the North were matched up, every South team played a North team in the opening round. This year it's different. For instance, our league champion will play the number 4 team from the West, and our second place team will play the number 3 team from the North. So it's kind of different that way. So one other difference with the tournament this year is the first round will be played at colleges. So you'll get a home game if you're a number 1 or 2 seed in the league. So there'll be eight games, and then the winners will advance to the final 8, the Elite 8, at Everett the following weekend. So that's different. I'm okay with the tournament format, except there's sort of an interesting glitch going on. I noticed that for the North and the South, they put our 1 and 2 teams in the same bracket. So normally, if you're 1 and 2 from a region, you would not meet until the championship game. That's what it's been forever. This year, East and South are in opposite brackets, and their number 1 and 2 would have to play each other to get into the championship. So And you could make an argument that four of the top teams might be, you know, two from the East, Spokane and Big Bend, Clark and us from the South. Those are four of the best teams in WAC. And yet we've sort of eliminated the chance of a all-region final, sort of. So I don't know if that makes sense, if you can visualize it, but it's kind of interesting.
Sure.
I feel like the bracket should be tweaked, and that shouldn't happen. So that's my only question about the bracket.
So once again, if you could repeat that, the first and second place team in the Southern region, which you there's a strong grip on that right now. There's still games left to play. You and Clark have a strong grip on that, in my opinion, just looking at the standings. But once again, the season's not over. But one and two, who do they match up again? And they get home games, obviously, correct?
Right. Our Southern Region champion will host the number four team from the West, and our Southern Region runner-up will host the number three team from the North.
Okay. And yep. Is it safe to say this year, Cliff, just looking at everything, every region's got really strong teams in those first four slots, and every region's got teams that can go in on the road and beat a top-tier team. It's pretty terrific basketball.
Yes, it is. I mean, there are no gimmies, but it's definitely an advantage to be able to host that play-in game. And we haven't done that, you know, since the tournament format changed in the year 2001. That's never happened before where you had, like, where you hosted actual tournament games. So that's kind of a cool deal to be able to look for it and host, what will hopefully be a men's and women's doubleheader on March 5th. Because our women have a great chance of getting the two seed out of the South as well, so that'd be a really neat atmosphere.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Now, just one other stupid question, but I've gotten so many people to come out to the games. I'm proud of that. Would those games be like a 2-4, or would they go to night games if you're going to host in that first round?
That's a good question, and I'm sorry I can't answer that. I think the site host has something to say about that. I don't think the playoff team games have been assigned, to my knowledge.
Very good. And Cliff, one final comment and let you go, and really appreciate the time tonight. As always, you're great on these interviews. You're a great man. Yeah, you care about people. You care about the universe, seriously. You care about everything. But, I agree with you. I heard some criticism of the change of playoff, but I think it makes it even more exciting the way this has been set up with, everybody's got a pretty good chance. And if you're going to succeed in basketball, you got to win on the road, but it also gives the team that earned it a chance to host.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm okay with that. You know, I want to take a look at it this year and sort of, reevaluate it after we've been through it, but whether you like the change or not, change is going to happen. So you might as well embrace it and do the best with it and then reevaluate afterwards.
Very good, Cliff. We will see you soon. Thanks for a great job tonight, per usual. And I think by the amount of texts and emails that are coming in here to me, everybody enjoyed listening to you tonight. They love hearing from you. And it was kind of an extended period of time, and they love that as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, Greg, and thanks for all you do for NWAC basketball, promoting a great sport and getting the word out to people and getting more people in the stands. Totally appreciate that, Greg.
Oh, Cliff, and I thank you, but, I want to add one thing here, if you don't mind. That game tonight, now people are going to look at 18-point deficit. They're going to say, that had some tense moments, some excitement, some tremendous block shots tonight on both sides, and just some very good basketball. So if you weren't there, don't quite judge. Just take it into account that NWAC is a terrific product. And I always say, Cliff, if you go once, you're going to go again.
I think that's true, and we have people all the time that They come one time, and all of a sudden, they're lifetime fans. They keep coming back because they recognize the great level of basketball. They appreciate the athletes on the floor, and it is a great show. If we can get you in the door, I think we can hook you.
Very good. That's Cliff Wagner, the head men's basketball coach at Clackamas Community College in Oregon City, Oregon, as I said. And I'm going to say it again. I opened the program along with Danny Miles, the most successful college basketball coach ever in the state of Oregon. And he would never tell you because he's about as humble a person as you get. But he's also as great as competitors I've ever seen. That's what makes him a terrific human being. Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again next Wednesday night with a very special show, so stay tuned for that. And we'll see you at a basketball game. Just get out and see a basketball game, and I guarantee you no matter where you go, you'll go back.